This morning, just a few words from 2 Corinthians 12, and forgive me, but we did not talk about what we are going to share. But if you see a lot of similarities, then it's just the Lord, because I was also going to talk a little bit about faith, and a little bit about being thankful. So maybe it's going to be repetitive, but let's hope, you know, in the sense what God wants us to hear. So I was encouraged by listening, so it makes me easier to, it makes it easier for me to share. We know this passage very well. It's not profitable for me to boast. This is what Paul is writing after he has written all the things he goes through in 2 Corinthians 11. And I will come to know to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know. Whether outside the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up to the third heavens. Obviously, he's talking about himself. And he says, then I know such a man, whether in the body, out of the body, I do not know, how he was caught up into the paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And just thinking about this portion of scripture in verses 1 to 10, that I think what Paul is trying to explain to the Christian is that the spiritual life is more important than the physical life. And many times, even as Christians, sometimes we tend to put our physical life first and the spiritual life as a backup. But Paul is trying to show that how life, you know, God balances our life. God knows how to keep us in shape. And the spiritual life is more important than the physical life. Like Pastor was saying earlier, you know, sometimes we think of circumstances and our feelings and how those feelings affect us. And, you know, in Mumbai, during this rainy season, we have monsoons. No matter how good the roads are, in first two rains, you have potholes everywhere. And that is a talking point of every politician. They begin to talk about it. See, the roads are bad. The roads are bad. And what happens in potholes is you don't have to go to a, you know, a Disneyland. You can experience it in your own cars and in your public vehicles, in the ups and downs, you know. And so you don't have to pay money to go to a theme park, but you can enjoy it on the roads. And so everyone is blaming each other, like, hey, this is, and sometimes we think of the Christian life as, the road is smooth, then we'll have some potholes, then the road gets smooth, then we'll have some potholes, and we try to identify life this way, but Paul here is saying that, it's not like the road, it's like a railway track. The physical and the spiritual are going together, you know. God knows how to balance both. And for the Christian, it is more important to have your spiritual life in order and the physical life later. And as we see verse 11 going by, chapter 11 going by, and then 12, and this comes to this place where Paul begins to say, I knew a man, you know, 14 years ago. I do not know in the body, outside the body. So he had a supernatural experience. God, he went to the third heavens where God's throne is, and he didn't see anything. He doesn't say that I saw something. He just says I heard inexpressible words. And when I looked up that word, it's not logos. It's rhema, God's spoken word. God gave something to Paul, and God gives us something, you know. Every time we open the scripture, God is speaking. And he is giving us a personal rhema, a personal word. Many times we have it the reverse way. When we are experiencing, when we are lacking, then we want to see what God is saying. Here, Paul is showing the right attitude. He's saying, first we hear. That's how faith comes in, Romans 10:17. We hear the word, faith comes in, and then we can live life. It's not that we try to live life, and then when it's not working, then I go back to the word. Because sometimes that can happen. But here he's saying is, I heard inexpressible words. When you see this portion in scripture and says 14 years ago, it is probably AD 43. This is before Paul would go on his first missionary journey. That God would take him up to the third heavens and say some things to him. What did he say? It says, it's not even lawful for me to speak. I cannot even speak that. I cannot even tell you what I heard. And I was thinking about it, like, how would this man survive or go through all that he went through and write these words of grace, because he heard inexpressible words. sometimes in a season of life, one verse is enough to carry you. You know, you can experience different situations and things going on, but that one verse that God has spoken to you, or you have read in the scripture, it becomes personal to you, that carries you. Every time you tend to think about what's going wrong or a circumstance, you remember the verse. The Holy Spirit brings it back. And you begin to think about it and says, okay, you know, it's not so much about the physical or the outward or the feeling. It's about the spiritual aspect. God is in control of my life. God is in charge of my life. And he says, verse 5, of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. You know, again, Pastor Mike was saying, right, how many of you say that I want to grow up and become miserable? Nobody says that. And he says, I will not talk about anything, but I'll talk about my infirmities and I'll boast about it. Would I want to do that? I don't think so. You know, sometimes you can think Paul is like, is he a superhuman? Was he given extra powers to live this life? And we'll see in the later part of the scripture, it's not that way. He says, I will boast in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So God, in a sense, kept Paul in a level where he's, in spite of having such a great experience, he did not speak about it. But rather he spoke about his weaknesses. Strange, you know, strange. If it's like saying that I stood first in the university, but I'm not going to talk about it, you know. Like everyone should know what I achieved, but he said, I don't want to talk about it. But I rather glory in my infirmities, you know. This was the purpose that Paul had, you know. There was a girl who saw a cocoon on a tree. And she took it out and, you know, put it in a glass jar in her home, wanting to see how the butterfly comes out of it. So she kept it there, and a few days later she saw the little butterfly trying to come out of the cocoon. And it was struggling, it was putting a lot of strength. And she felt bad. She said, oh, you know, that butterfly is going through a lot. So she took out the cocoon and took a small little razor and just slit through the cocoon, so that the butterfly would come out easily. But when the butterfly came out, instead of seeing two beautiful wings, she saw two shriveled wings. And instead of it becoming beautiful, it just looked very ugly. The cocoon was put there and was made a little difficult so that beauty would come out of it. The capacity to fly would come out of it. But when the shortcut was taken, it went on a different way. The purpose of God was not accomplished, was not fulfilled. And so the result was not beauty. The result was not strength. The result was now, you know, a beautiful color. But it was something that nobody wanted. God does those things in our life too. And that's why I was saying that the spiritual and the physical go together, you know. But the spiritual is more important, because God wants in each one of our lives those colors to be revealed. And Betty is wearing many of them, so, you know, he wants the different colors. When we think about grace, and Paul will talk about it in a while, that's how grace is. 1 Peter 4 says, God has manifold grace. And I like that word because it means various, poikilos, various types. So there is grace for every aspect of my life. There is not an area or an aspect in my life where grace, God does not have the grace for. And the reason is because we will reveal Christ. We will reveal Jesus through our lives, you know. And that's what Paul is saying, like, I would not want to glory about it. Like, I would like to stand up and say, listen to me. I just went to the third heavens. I heard God speak. Now you should listen to me. And he says, God would say, no, you're not going to boast about it. Like, imagine if Paul would stand and say, God spoke to me in the third heavens, and this is what he said. Everyone would listen to him. But God said, you will not say that. And so instead of appreciation, he got stones. Instead of appreciation, he would be beaten up. And he writes all about it in chapter 11. But it doesn't bother him. you know, because he found something that otherwise else he would not have found, and that was how grace works. And whenever we read, I read this 11th chapter 11 and all the difficulties of Paul, I'm not looking at the difficulty, I'm looking at it in this way. I was in the sea for a night. So you found grace to be at the sea in the night. I was beaten up 5 times. So you found grace to endure that? How could that be? Like, some of the things that you read, it's fearful. I don't want to go through that. I was hungry. So you had the grace to endure that hunger? You know, I went in a night scared of robbers. I had the grace to go. I found that grace that I, in spite of my fear, God could take care of me. So he had grace for every situation in his life. And he begins to speak about it, that this is given to me, not that I would boast, you know, and God would keep him in that. And God allowed it. And sometimes we look at difficulties and suffering, and if our thinking is not right, as we heard, then we tend to take wrong decisions. We tend to do things which God never wanted us to do. But God builds character, Romans chapter 5. And again, you referred to verse 2, you referred to verse 3. So I'll read 1, 2, and 1, 4, and 5. Therefore, we have been justified by faith. Again, you spoke about faith. Because we have faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character builds hope. And now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Like these 5 verses, everything that I need to know is probably here in these 5 verses. I have faith, I have grace, I have God, I have character, hope, God, Holy Spirit. You know, in that sense, we can rejoice. Paul is saying that in spite of this, I can rejoice. I choose to. I don't have to, but I choose to, because his grace is sufficient. And God sometimes allows these things to build character in us. He wants us to go forward, and different methods God will use to reveal his grace in our life. You know? Sometimes we want... We want God to give us grace in the way we want it. If you could answer my prayer in this way, then I know. And God says, no, I'll answer it in the opposite way. He says, no, but can we, you know, sometimes our prayers are a little manipulative. If you do this, then I will do this, you know. If you can answer, and God says, no, I won't do it this way. I'll do it exactly the opposite way. Why? So you will know. You know, you will know that my grace is sufficient. But can it be done my way? I like this example of Naaman. You know, Naaman goes to Elisha. And I want to cure for my leprosy. So your cure for your leprosy is going to the Jordan and dip 7 times. But shouldn't Elisha come out to meet me? I'm Naaman. You know, I'm known. I've come with so many people. I've come with so many gifts. At least the least the prophet can do is come out, meet me, say, Naaman, thank you for coming. I'll put my hand upon you. I'll pray for you. And then God will heal you. But Elisha doesn't even come out. He says, go dip into Jordan 7 times. He says, I have better rivers back home. I don't like this way. So I'm going to go back home. But then wisdom prevailed and he did. And we know that this man got cured of leprosy. The entire Old Testament, we see this man getting cured of leprosy. But what did he want? He wanted it his way. Let Elisha come out, you know. And Elisha does not come out. Sometimes God works with that way. We want a particular way of God working in our lives, and he says, no, I won't do it. And Paul here would say, 14 years, I sometimes marvel at this thought, for 14 years he did not even speak about it. You know, verse 7, he says, in the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. The word given there, it means like a gift. God gifted me a thorn. I don't want it, but I'll gift you a thorn. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I love that verse. The word weak means helpless. The word strong means dunamis, dynamite. You know, when I'm at my weakest, I'm as powerful as a dynamite. Why? Because God's grace works in me. And so, he says, a thorn was given to me. Now, many theologians have many thoughts about it. Some people say it was an eye affliction, or maybe it was bodily impediment, maybe it was Romans 7, you know, the things I want to do, I cannot do. The things I don't want to do, those very things I do. You know. But there is nothing mentioned what it was. And thank God he did not mention it. What was the thorn? Because then we would restrict God to that much. And we say, if I have this issue, then probably God will give me his grace. But he didn't mention which thorn. He didn't mention what the thorn was. He just said, it has been given to me. Imagine the humility with which he is writing. He's saying, this was gifted to me. But one thing I know, this is a messenger from this is a messenger of the devil, and God has allowed it. Like Job. Here, Paul has an idea that it's the devil, and God allowed it. Poor Job had no idea. He had no idea it was who allowed it, why is it happening. He had no clue, you know. Here he is living his life with his family and there is a conflict in heaven and God is saying, hey, why don't you test my servant Job? And Job has no clue. And Job is saying, why is this happening to me? At least Paul has some knowledge that this has been given to him. But for 14 years he would not talk about it. He would not discuss it. And he knew that it was basically to keep his flesh in check, that he would not boast. He knew it was that, but still, you know, not talk about it. And he would say this, you know, God has not removed it. I was listening to one of Dr. Stevens' messages long ago, and this thought never left me. In that thought, Pastor Stevens said this in the message regarding this verse. He says, if the thorn is a blessing, imagine what the blessing will be like, you know. So I wrote it in my old Bible and I never forgot it. I said, if the thorn is a blessing, then imagine what the blessing will be like. And, you know, sometimes it could be people, sometimes it could be a physical ailment, whatever it could be. But if it's there and God has allowed it, then there is grace on the way. You know, God is allowing things and God is going to is using it in that way. God has allowed it to be there because he's wanting to do something in that time. You know, he's wanting to do it. And maybe today, I was thinking this morning of a man in our church. Now we have 2 services. We shifted and we have an English and a Hindi one separate. So 2 Bible colleges and 2 classes. And during COVID, his mother, this young guy, 23 years old, he just fainted and she's a nurse at a hospital, so she took him to the, in Kurla. And he said he's in coma, he's unconscious, we don't know what to do. So 5 days later, she did all her rituals and all her stuff, and then she found out that one of her church members, a lady named Helen, stayed very close by. So somebody said, why don't you go to her, they are Christians and they'll pray. So she came to Helen, and because we were not meeting in person, Helen called up one of her church members and said, this lady so-and-so has happened, her son's in coma for 5-6 days now, and why don't you just pray? So this guy prayed for him, and then we never heard from them. We don't know what happened. We opened up the church, and with restrictions we could meet. So we were in a prayer meeting, and one day this lady walks in with her son. They came right in, and so we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know, oh, they're newcomers, so come, please sit, and what can we pray for you? And then the lady said, I was the one who had called, you know, and this is my son. So excitedly we asked, you know, how did he get healed? Like, how was the doctor's work? And we forgot about that people in the church had prayed, you know. And she said, I won't say anything, let him speak. So this guy began to say that I went into coma, I was, I don't know what happened to me. But I remember one thing very vividly. So we asked him, what was it? He said, I saw myself lying in a coffin. Now remember, this guy comes from a Hindu background. So they don't put people in coffin. They burn them. They cremate them. So he says, I found myself in a coffin and a man dressed in white comes to me and says, your time is not yet done. And he breaks the coffin and tells me to come out. So I'm searching for this man in white. I don't know who he is. And we were sitting like thinking, there we go. So I asked him, have you heard the name Jesus? This is a 23-year-old man living in Mumbai and I assumed that, you know, probably everyone in Mumbai has heard the name because there are many churches. He says, no, I don't know who Jesus is. So the man in white is Jesus. So we explained the gospel to him. He accepted the Lord. And then he created a problem in the church. You know what the problem was? He's finishing off tracts faster than we bring them in. He just cannot stop soul winning. Wherever he is. He went for a vacation to his native village. And we have a WhatsApp group. Everyone he meets, he gives a tract to. And he's posting a picture. So I had to call him and tell him, stop it. You know. Everyone's phone is pinging every 10 minutes. I literally had to tell him, stop it. He put 45 photographs of 45 people he gave tracts to in his hometown on a vacation and just said, keep this in mind, keep that man in prayer, keep that man in prayer. And we're like, don't send us pictures, please. But this is how his life is just turned. His mother does not believe. You know, and I'm like thinking, didn't you bring him? Didn't you were the one asking for prayer? And she says, yeah, for me all gods are one. And he's saying to her, no, all gods are not one. There is only one Jesus. And I thought to myself, like, this is the way sometimes God would use to work. And, you know, sometimes you say, oh, I preached a message and, you know, someone got touched and, you know, we had so much fun. I was preaching once and a young girl in front of me was weeping. I looked at her and I was like, finally it has happened. Finally my message touched somebody and their life is changed. So after the message I went up to her and says, what touched you? She said, nothing, the AC was too cold. I was shivering. All my excitement of 10 minutes got like gone and like, oh. It was so cold, she has never used to sit AC in their home, that it was right in front of her and she was shivering and she didn't want to get up, feeling that, you know, I may get offended. So she sat there shivering and she couldn't control it. And I'm thinking, wow, look at me preaching. So life's being changed. So no, this is, you know. You know. So I thought about that and I was thinking about this young man. I was saying, imagine what God had to do with him and reveal himself. And he accepted the Lord, but the mother is not. And now they're at loggerheads, you know, because she says, why are you going? And he says, where else can I go? He's in church every day, every class, whether he understands or not, he's taking Bible college classes. Every session after service, he has questions. Between services, he will go and distribute tracts. He goes to we have Asia's largest tuberculosis hospital in Mumbai, and then he goes there every week to share the gospel with people. And you just can't stop him. And we are sitting back and thinking, that's the way of grace. You know, no man could have done this. No man could have changed his heart. But only the Lord can do it. You know, only the Lord can do it. And I think when Paul writes this, that's what he's saying, that I really have a thorn. And he says it's in the flesh. And it's interesting because I think, is it this flesh or the old sin nature? Where is the thorn pricking you the most? Maybe both places. Maybe it's a physical ailment, but it could also be to keep me from boasting, to keep, you know, not let my ego get inflated. And maybe this is why the thorn was given. And sometimes that's the reason why God allows it, so that our flesh would not begin to dominate. You know, we would not take ourselves too seriously, or, you know, what we have done too seriously, thinking, see what I have done. And God sometimes says, I'll show you. And these things happen in the body, in the church, you know, for God to show us that you could have never done this. You know, no matter how much your spirituality is, only God is the one who can change and transform the lives. No human has that power. His word has the power, the spirit has the power, God's grace has that power, but not us. And so maybe sometimes Paul would say that it's, you know, given to me. But the second word he used there is buffeting me. And that's like slapping someone constantly. And that's so irritating. That's so, you know, that's so, what is this going on every moment? He's feeling it. And this is spiritual warfare also, because Paul had to visit churches. Paul had to plant churches, discipling people, writing the letters to the church, saying, you know, encouraging, visiting, doing mission trips. And this is happening in his life. But at the same time, the work of God is also going on, you know. And 14 years later, he will talk about this. It was buffeting me. But the grace of God was working, you know. So how do I deal with these things? You know, sometimes people can say, you know, blame God. Let's blame God for this. You know, he's allowed. Why is he doing this? I am doing so much for God and yet he's allowing this. We can quit. We can say, okay, this is it. You know, God, too much. This doesn't work. You know, I've tried God and everything and this doesn't work. Another way is to say, I can handle life. You know, I'll fight this. And when we do that in our own strength, we don't last long. We can't do that. The only way is to, Paul would say, is to receive that grace. Like I was, think about this, that Paul would pray, Lord, please remove this. And there is no answer. Like Apostle Paul prays and God does not even answer. And sometimes I pray and God does not answer and I can get offended. And for 14 years, he said, Lord, remove it. There's not even an answer. There's not even a yes or a no or not now. He's saying, there's no answer. Second time he prays, no answer. Third time, God speaks, but it's not an answer. My grace is sufficient, you know. It's like, let it be. But is it a yes, no, how long? It's sufficient for you. And this is our edict, that not only to keep our flesh in check, but also I think to bring us to a point of John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. Secondly, I was thinking that maybe this was given to strengthen his faith, so that the dependency would be upon God and not upon himself. And, you know, that's why Romans 5:1-5 is so key. We have been justified and now in this faith we stand. And that hope never disappoints. You know? I like the way it is built up. It starts with faith, ends with hope, and the Holy Spirit is there. And just to continue encouraging us in our faith, maybe God allows it. Because sometimes we can think, Lord, you know, you saved us. Why do we have to live in this evil world? You know, why don't you just clear off everything in my life and make it smooth? You know, why do I have to go through all this? Why is, if I am your child, you have saved me, I am going to heaven, all spiritual blessings are mine, all your promises are yes and amen, and still there is trouble. So why do I have to grow in grace in 2 Peter 3:18, you know? Why is this whole thing going on that he should increase and I should decrease? Because God does not want robots, you know. He wants people, he loves people. And he rather, again, this is not me, this is Dr. Stevens. He rather have, in a sense, he says, a strength made perfect in weakness, rather than a person having a strength with a weakness, you know. In whatever situation we are, he would rather perfect us by his strength than allowing us to live in our strength, you know. And so God wants us to grow in that faith. And so there's the flesh would be taken care of, but then the faith also would be. And what's the result of this, you know? I think of this as the last few verses, that there is power. When I am weak, then I am strong. This is the beauty of the finished work, that God does not look at me as I am. He looks at me through His Son. And He sees me in His Son. And that's the beauty there, because if He had to look at me as I am, then there is nothing, but I am in His Son, and He looks at me in Christ, and that completes it. You know, I am not perfect, but He accepts me as perfect. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, He accepts me into His family as perfect. You know, Abraham would have a shortcut with Hagar, but God, you know, in a sense, did not punish Hagar that way, or Ishmael in that sense. You know, David would sin, but God would say, you will be the prince in the millennial. Why would God want to name a nation that He loves after a man called Jacob? Why shouldn't He keep the name of the nation Abraham? Why should He change it from Jacob to Israel? That's the work of grace, different ways. And that's to increase our faith. So the first thing I see is power. That when I am weak, then I'm strong. You know, God gives me, each one of us as a Christian, God gives us the strength to live the Christian life, not on ourselves. Second, I think, is being thankful or having the attitude of praise. He says, most gladly, I will boast of my infirmities, verse 11. You know, most gladly. So why are you saying most gladly? He says, because I have found out that His grace is sufficient. So if there is a weakness, I am thankful, I am grateful to God, because that means He is doing something in my life which I never expected. So I can praise Him, you know. I can sing to Him. Psalms 100 was again, you know, the entry to worship. I can say thank you to God. And the last one is in verse 12, is peace. That's what He said. In all these things. In all these things. He was not thankful for the situations, but He's saying, in these situations, I found God. And I don't have to do anything in that sense, but God gives me peace in the middle of this situation. I could be troubled about this circumstance, but because of grace, my thinking is right. You know, my thinking has gone in the direction of what God wants. And one of my favorite illustrations in when I talk about peace is that there was a competition, and many artists from the world came, and the competition was, draw a perfect picture of peace, perfect peace. So some people drew mountains and a house and a cottage and birds. Some people drew a picture of someone on the mountain. Some picture drew near the sea and, you know, serenity, quiet. But the award-winning picture was very, very confusing to many people. Because in the award-winning picture, it's dark skies, thunder, or heavy rain, you know, dark picture. And under a rock is a small little bird singing away. It was a small little bird singing away, and that's the prize. You can Google it, you'll see it. And that little picture got the award for the best description of peace. That there is storm, there is dark skies, there is no place, there is no nest for the bird, but it's under a rock and it is singing. And sometimes that is a picture of the Christian too, that when they realize that grace of God is sufficient, then the dark clouds, the rain, the thunder, the lack of a nest, those things don't bother. But there is realization that there is power. We have the capacity to praise, and there is peace, you know. And so, in closing, that's what I think about it, that this is how the work of God sometimes is with balancing the spiritual and the physical, and He's giving us grace to endure whatever life throws at us. And so I don't know what each one of you go through, but we as Christians, we know that all of us are going through something at every point in time, something that is right in front of our mind saying, this is what is worrying me or bothering me, or I want an answer not yet come. And God says, my grace is sufficient, you know, I will take you through this, and in the midst of it you will experience my power. You will find the peace, and you'll find an opportunity to praise me. So, amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.